Episode 24, Frugal Side Hustles.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Hello, hello, hello. Is anybody there?
I'm here. I'm still here. It's me, yes. Jill.
Oh, it's me, Jen. And we're your frugal friends coming at you on another episode of the Frugal Friends Podcast. Happy Frugal Friends Friday if you're listening to this and you are one of our subscribers getting it as soon as it comes out. We are so thankful for you. And we're talking about a really cool listener request today. How are you feeling about it, Jill?
I'm feeling good about it. I think that this is a topic that we've received some positive feedback that we don't make people do a bunch of side hustles to be frugal. So still don't feel guilty or like pressured into doing this. But I think it is worth talking about since this is such a strong topic in this community of what are ways to make extra money, get out of debt fast. So it is a reality. And for those of you who don't even know what a side hustle is, it's basically a way to bring in added income, extra income. But there's now a whole term around it called the side hustle.
Right. And it's 2018 and everybody has a side hustle now. Even if you don't know what the term means, you probably still have one.
You're probably doing it.
Yeah, we are, as frugals we are, probably also equally the queens of side hustling. So we understand the fact that there's only so much you can cut from your budget and there's only so much spending that you can cut. But the opportunity to make extra money if you do it right can be limitless. So we're going to talk about some of our favorite strategies for getting the most bang for your buck. The best bang from your buck. I don't know how you turn that phrase around. But first, a word from our sponsors. So our first sponsor today is actually not an official sponsor, but we've just been sharing about them for the past few weeks because I remembered that CookSmarts offers 3 free weeks of meal plans. And I was like, why don't we talk about them more often? So we decided to add them as an unofficial sponsor. And or an official unofficial sponsor.
Yeah, there you go.
And if you have not been listening to us for the past few weeks, CookSmarts, it's a meal planning service that provides everything you need in a meal plan. So the recipes, the instructions, weekend prep options if you want to prep things on Sunday to make the week easier, and a shopping list for 4 meals per week. And they have a regular menu. They have gluten-free, paleo, and vegetarian options. And you can switch between all of them because they have an archive of recipes that if you get something you don't like that week, you can switch out for anything. But they try and make every week kind of as conducive to what's seasonal and overlapping as many ingredients as possible. So I love CookSmarts. I will use it when I'm in a season where I'm just too busy to function. And but while I do advocate making your own meal plans, how can you say no to 3 free weeks of them? So you can get them if you head to frugalfriendspodcast.com/CS. And if eventually you do go on to sign up for meal planning, you will help support the podcast through your purchase at no extra cost to you. So again, not an official sponsor, but we love them.
Yeah, I like that you can tailor it to your needs, that there's not just one across the board. These are the recipes you're getting. I like that it's for how you eat, whether that's vegetarian or like you mentioned. So that's great.
Heart eyes.
Also, heart eyes. Yes. Sorry.
Throwing you off.
Referring to the emoji heart eyes that you can send back and forth.
I'm using all kinds of 2018 lingo here.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time keeping up, even though I'm a millennial.
You will get
Anyhow,
there.
Anyhow, also brought to you by time management. So we all only get 24 hours in a day, but planning how to spend those hours is the difference between getting nothing done and getting something done.
Wow.
It's the best way to feel accomplished and to make room for that amazing side hustle. So time management, if you didn't learn it when you were 10, try it now.
Amen. Ooh, I love time management. It really does help me from getting nothing done to getting something done. It really does do that.
Yep. So pretty kudos. Vague, but some intense results.
Yeah. Kudos to time management for generously sponsoring the show.
Very generous.
Now that we're talking about side hustles, side gigs, gig economy, whatever you want to call it, we want to talk about side hustles. Like, let's be real honest about them. Mm-hmm. Let's not talk about all of the things that you could do. Let's talk about the most lucrative things you can do, the things that will make you the most money for the least time, not necessarily the least effort, but as little time as possible, and also that can possibly grow into something more than a side hustle. So that is when we look at side hustles from a frugal perspective and ones that cost very little to get started. Yeah. Those are kind of the things that we're thinking about it. We are not in crisis mode. We're not desperate to make extra money. We're just trying to get a little extra to either pay off debt faster, save up for a vacation, do the extra mile, go the extra mile. So that is our mindset in bringing you this episode today. And with that, our first article is from MarketWatch. And I love the title of this episode, of this article. It is, Behold, the most lucrative, in parentheses, and fulfilling side hustles. Mm-hmm. Though I did read the article and I didn't find anything about these side hustles being fulfilling. But I guess maybe if they pay you enough, that's enough to fulfill you. It's enough to fulfill me. Money definitely fulfills me for sure. So I guess that's what they mean.
That's mostly what I need from a side hustle, is for it to not require a lot for me and to pay me back nicely.
Tenfold.
Uh-huh. That's the point. It's something you're doing on the side. So it can't take up all of your time.
Yeah. So MarketWatch, it's a short article, but it's about a study done by Credit Loan. And it's a small study, so I won't say it's a scientific study. It's only like about less than 1,000 Americans. But it goes through different side hustles and gives the median and maximum monthly income for them and then the median hourly rates. So even if you're making $1,000 a month from like driving Uber, what are you really making per hour after all of your expenses and stuff?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what it's breaking down here for. My favorite thing was that if, Jill, you see at the very end of the median hourly rates, all the way down at the bottom, blogging, vlogging, or podcasting makes people an average of $3 an hour.
Ooh. So
you can see how lucrative the Frugal Friends podcast is for us. You know, money fulfills me, and this is what I'm in it for. I do it for all $3 an hour. And that's actually only $1.50 an hour because we share it, Jill.
Yes. So
we do it for all $1.50 an hour.
Don't spend it all in one place, Jen.
I do, because I have luxurious tastes. I buy less so that I can buy better.
I'll spend it on my pack of gum that I can't give up. No matter how broke I ever might become in life, gum will always be in the budget.
Oh my gosh. Mine is good toilet paper.
That's right.
Whenever I accidentally buy the cheapest toilet paper, I always regret it. I go into this like least expensive mode and then I just buy, you know, everything on my list and I get home with the cheapest toilet paper. And I'm like, why? What was I on?
What was I thinking?
Yeah. I always regret it. Always. So our top five median monthly incomes are selling or renting property, which is a median of $500 a month. Ride sharing, which is a median of $350. Number three is fitness training or coaching. which is $200 a month. Beachbody coaches from 2 years ago are all rejoicing. Mm-hmm. Four is freelance work or consulting, which is about $200 a month. And rounding out the top five is e-commerce or drop shipping at $150 a month. And these are all the side hustle range. These aren't mm-hmm. like full-time people doing this
right.
stuff.
Right, they're not doing it for their work. Uh-huh.
I will say tied for fifth place is tutoring or teaching, also at $150.
Oh. So,
but okay. it's different from the hourly.
The median hourly rates, like when you break it down, how much would these people be making hourly? The top five go in this order: selling or renting property. So again, that one is at the top. So like find a way to do that, apparently. Selling or renting property, that's $81 an hour. Computer repair is listed at about $20 an hour median rate. Fitness training or consulting is third at, again, about $20 an hour. Then freelance work or consulting at about $20 an hour. And fifth is photography or videography at $20 an hour.
Mm-hmm. So a little variation. Anything shocking to you or pretty typical in your mind, Jill?
It is interesting to me that it doesn't go hand in hand between the monthly rates and the hourly rates. That, yeah, computer repair is right up there with coaching and freelance work and photography.
Something that I anticipated was that, yeah, ride sharing is number two for monthly income. But when you're looking at it down here, it's $15 an hour. And that's, I don't even think, taking into consideration all of the like expenses of gas and wear on the car. That's just strictly like what you make per hour.
Right.
So that did not surprise me, just with all of the things that I've heard people having like problems with ride sharing, like the surge prices and all that stuff. But so selling or renting property, that one is definitely less accessible at first. Mm-hmm. But we do Airbnb in our spare room, and that's essentially the same as, you know, renting property.
Yeah.
And it's a really great way. We make about $1,000 extra a month. And the only things that I have to do are clean the rooms when people are done. And Airbnb is super flexible with how frequently you have people. So if you can't, you know, go home between a quick turn, somebody leaving and somebody coming the mm-hmm. same day, you can, you know, block days out and really do what works for you. So it's definitely one of the easiest ways to use what you've got to make money.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever taken a look at about how many hours you put into Airbnb, from scheduling people to cleaning to restocking to even maybe talking with people about the area?
What a great question. I haven't. It usually takes me about an hour to clean. Mm-hmm. And that's just one room and one bathroom. But then I'll also clean the rest of my house, which might take another half hour, hour. But I don't count that because I have to clean the rest
clean
of my house
anyhow.
Anyway.
Sure. It's yeah. just a nice motivator.
Exactly. The talking, it depends on the guests. Some are more talkative than others, but we don't usually see that as work. That's mm-hmm. really enjoyable for us. Mm-hmm. And then there's no work with scheduling or anything. We don't even have to be there when they come in because we have a keypad. So right. really that hour of cleaning is the only hard time that I put into it.
Yeah. So it's probably yeah. safe to say for you that, you know, maybe 10 hours maximum is put towards this. And that at that rate, that'd be about $100 an hour for you mm-hmm. in Airbnb, which even though that this is a harder side hustle to get to, it does help to know, well, in the future, if I want to have a side hustle, what is the best bang for my time, or like what is the most lucrative thing that I want to be aiming for? And so for me, yeah, watching you do Airbnb, reading about it through articles like this, that is a goal of mine, to know that my end result isn't going to be that I'm taking surveys and that's going to be my ultimate side hustle. Like my ultimate side mm-hmm. hustle will be selling or renting property.
Yeah. Some of the lowest hourly rates, which are going to be really funny. So what's the minimum wage now?
I think it's $7.25, or is it higher than that?
I think somewhere in the seven. So I'm going to start below minimum wage, the ones that are below minimum wage. So at $7 an hour, we've got direct sales and making and selling crafts, or crafts, art, or food. Just because that takes so much time to make, and then you can only sell it for like a certain amount. Like, I think it's just too labor intensive.
Yep.
And then at $6 an hour, we have personal or virtual assistant. And I think this might be taking into consideration like sites like TaskRabbit or Fiverr or things like that, which are not very lucrative. At $5 an hour, we have house sitting and survey taking. But that could be $10 an hour if you take surveys while house sitting.
Ooh, good point.
Yeah. I don't know. And then we all know at $3 an hour, we've got podcasting and blogging and vlogging.
Here you go. We've made the wisest choice.
You know that we have. We're clearly concerned entrepreneurs.
Yeah. No, we're in it for the friendship.
That's the only reason we're in it.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't
get to talk to you if there wasn't a podcast involved.
I know. But I think we should be asking people to fund us $3 per month, because I don't think we're making that yet. I think these are some pretty high ranking podcasters to be making $3 a month, man.
I know. I want to talk to them. Tell me your skills.
Right?
Your tricks and tips.
I sunk money. I bought those bookmarks. We got Frugal Friends bookmarks.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
I passed them out at the financial blogging conference I went to, and they were a hit, y'all. People love the Frugal Friends book club. I don't know if they're listening to the podcast, but they love the book club.
Yeah, they do. And bookmarks, free bookmarks with our faces on them. So I found interesting from this article, just the statistics in it about how common side hustles are becoming. They cite this research that was done by Credit Loan that more Americans today are working multiple jobs than at any point in the last 20 years. It has become a very common thing. I don't quite know what that speaks to. I'm sure we could talk about that for a long time, but we won't. Something else that I found interesting, I wonder what your thoughts are on this, but the article cited that personality type has a lot to do with side hustles and maybe even the types of side hustles chosen and how much money can be made. They say that extroverts earn 80% more than introverts, because introverts are more likely to take on computer repair, house sitting, while extroverts will do the bartending, the fitness coaching, the blogging. I thought that was interesting and like kind of sad that, okay, if this is true, you've got one personality type much more able to make money at a side hustle than somebody who might be more prone to being introverted.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a common occurrence in entrepreneurship that you have to put yourself out there in any side hustle in order to earn more. And it's harder for us introverts to put ourselves out there, whether it's just a more lucrative side hustle altogether or to marketing ourselves for any side hustle. So I mean, that's one disadvantage that we have, but I know a ton of introverts that are doing well in business. They've just had to learn to compartmentalize. Like when I have my business face on, then I'm extroverted and then I go home and I don't talk to anybody.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And I think in that, then it's helpful to read articles like this to see, well, what are the most lucrative things and how can that fit whatever personality type or style you are? And another thing that they listed is that it's the biggest key is that you need to enjoy your side hustle. So don't just go do something. Don't start trying to make crocheted bunny hats for infants if you don't one, know how to crochet, or two, care about like putting bunny hats on infants, then that's like, that's not your thing. Don't do that. Even if so-and-so says it makes a lot of money, like find something that when you're doing this, in addition to the regular work that you do, that there's an element of fun or joy or life in it for you.
Yeah, that's so important because I think it's so easy for us to see somebody else doing really well in something and then try it because it looks easy. But the mm-hmm. reason it looks easy for them is because they really, A, put the work in and B, enjoy mm-hmm. it. And yeah. you need to find something you enjoy to put work into mm-hmm. because what works for someone else may not work for you. Especially if that thing is podcasting.
I was just going to say, it speaks to us doing podcasting. We just enjoy this. It will be great when it brings in some money. But for now, we both really like doing it. So mm-hmm. it doesn't drain me. It doesn't steal away. This is an enjoyable time for me.
Yeah. But if you wanted to like Venmo us $3, we wouldn't be against it.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
For sure. Also, it's at the bottom of the monthly income, if you were wondering, at $25 a month. So, yeah.
Killing it.
Killing it. All right. So, anything else to say about this one, Jill?
No, I think that's good for that one. I think it gives a good intro to what a side hustle is, the reasons for doing it, and some good ideas, too, for what you might explore. For your interests, if you need some ideas, to get your creative juices flowing.
And it gives you an accurate picture of what some of these side hustles are making, because mm-hmm. the advertising dollars behind these companies that offer essentially advertising for you to make money on your services, you can find anybody that's one person that's making a lot of money with any of these services. And then you'll see their story pasted on the internet. But you don't hear much about the little guys that are making $7 an hour doing mm-hmm. it. So I think it's first important to know that if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Mm-hmm. It seems really easy to just put your info up on TaskRabbit and have all the tasks come to you and make a lot of money doing virtual assisting and then end up making $6. Yeah. So that is first perspective. Mm-hmm. Second is an article from Side Hustle Nation. And this is one of my favorite side hustle podcasts, too. It's called The Side Hustle Show. But this article is from him, and it's 99 side hustle business ideas you can start today. And normally I hate these articles with like all these ideas, but I will make an exception for this one because A, everybody is so different that you kind of need to have all the options listed out. Mm-hmm. And some of them, gosh, this article could clearly be 50 side hustle business ideas because some of them are just, they're not business ideas. But just having them all laid out and able to kind of pin them against each other might help spark some ideas that you didn't have before mm-hmm. For something that you might really like to do that you didn't realize was an option. So breaking my rule today to include Nick Loper's 99 business ideas, which actually there are more now. I scrolled all the way to the bottom. There's like 116.
No way. More added. Wow.
Yes.
It is quite laughable how long the list is and how little stand out to me as something that I would be interested in doing. So it's good because it gets you thinking about what different things that you could do, but it gives this false idea that, oh my word, I'm going to find something from this list, 99 things. And don't feel bad if you don't, because some of them require either like degrees of skill or actual degrees, or just things that you may or may not be interested in. So again, feel free to look at it, but it is shocking how few I actually think I'll pursue.
of of the 116, I think we came up with three that we thought were really good ideas. But, and that just gives you the, like, this is one of the number one ranking articles for side hustle ideas. Like, uh-huh. This is what's on the internet.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's what you're getting. And I mean, no offense to Nick Loper, who is so smart. I think you should listen to his podcast. He has some great people on there, great ideas. But yeah, so I think, so my favorite one was up at the top, and it was a notary. And that's because by notaries in themselves can get paid for their signatures, because if you need a document signed by a notary, you need a notary. Like, there's nobody that can do that for you. And even if your mom's a notary, like, they can't necessarily notarize your things if they're like a family member for some reason. So there's different like stipulations to that. So yes, notaries are needed. And notaries can also be loan signing agents for mortgages. So there's not always a loan signing agent, like an on-call one there. Sometimes the mortgage company has like their own. But this is a side hustle that you can do for those who don't, and you're basically a notary there on call. And that can make you hundreds of dollars per session or per hour.
Wow.
Yeah. And you have to obviously know where to market yourself, know where to put yourself out there to get those things. But yes, so that one I think is a lucrative one. How about you, Joe?
Yeah, the one that stood out to me was teaching English. So I actually know some people who do this, and I've heard firsthand it's legit. I make a really decent wage from home, working from my computer. And there's a couple different places that you can do this through, and we can post some links in the show notes about that. But that seems to be, I think people make, you do have to have your bachelor's degree, but they make about $20 an hour for teaching English to people, usually in other countries.
Yeah. And I think it's like very early morning or very late at night timeframes. So that's usually good. Like if you have a family and you're trying to do it when your kids aren't awake or something like that.
That's exactly it. I know a lot of moms like who do that.
Yeah. So that's a good one. And most people use VIP Kid, but I think that there are other organizations popping up. So definitely do your research on that.
Yeah. The people that I know who do it through VIP Kid. So just to put that out there, that it is legit, they do get paid through it. Cause I get these pop-ups in my email, like, I don't know, is this legit? Should I even try it? And people are saying, yes, I do it and I get paid. So that's at least good to know.
Yes. I know a lot of people that get paid by them. So they're not going to skip out on you. Another one on this list is selling on Amazon. And there are many ways that you can sell on Amazon. I think the most common ones are people will get either through finding deals at like a clearance item at Target, buying it, and then shipping it to Amazon, like posting it on Amazon, shipping it to them. And then somebody who is not near your Target who wants that item will pay full price for it. Something like that. That's called retail arbitrage. Or you can private label things, like have things made through Alibaba or something and sell those on Amazon. A really great thing about selling on Amazon is you don't have to keep the inventory in your house. You can have it fulfilled by Amazon. And that is a way we saw on the last one that drop shipping and stuff was something that people made a decent side hustle income on.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing to me, and something that I'm just now understanding what that means, how people do it, the time investment of it. But it does seem to be, when you search side hustles, that comes up quite often.
You have to do your research because there's a lot of traffic. So there's a lot of opportunity to make money. But because of that, there's a lot of competition. Right. So you have to do it right. You can't just like throw things up there and think you're going to make money. You really have to do research on the audience, on the product, on your keywords when you're posting it. So I think I think for a lot of these, you're just going to find out that it's not as easy as just signing up online and getting in your car and picking somebody
That's
up.
That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, the things that are going to make you more money will take a little bit more research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even for teaching English or a lot of the things that we've listed, there is upfront time investment that once you mm-hmm. once you do it, then it's great. You can get into a rhythm, but just signing up to teach English online from your home, I would anticipate at least 10 hours of investment of applying, of doing the interview, of prepping, of creating a space that is your classroom in your home. There's a lot of investment there. And then, yeah, like I said, then you get into a rhythm. But I don't want to gloss over that aspect of these side hustles, is that in the beginning, it does take work.
Yeah. And then there's also like a balanced monetary investment. So
yeah.
I was reading in some places, and there's another podcaster, Chris Guillebeau, who has a book called The $100 Startup. Mm. And it's basically saying you can start any business for $100. And if it's cost more than $100, then you just need to scale back and like make some sales and get some mm-hmm. money in you. But you should be able to start a side hustle with an investment of $100 or less. But that's still mm-hmm. $100 you're going to have to front. And for some of us, you know, if you're paying off debt or if you're in a tight spot financially, like that sounds like a lot. Mm-hmm. But know that if you really want to start something that's going to not be short-term money, but like could really be long-term money, it does require some kind of investment, but it shouldn't mm-hmm. cost more than $100 or so. Anything else to say about this one? Now that we've gone over three of 116. So if you're wondering why we're not going over more, if we're just being like really snobby, one of these is working on Mechanical Turk. And I can just tell you, you'll make about $2 an hour on that. YouTube channel hosting, we already know that that's $3 an hour. Using credit card rewards, that's not a business. Mystery shopping, also not a business. Like you'll get reimbursed and make like $10 here and there. And then some of these just require more upfront cost than we would be willing to recommend. Like mm-hmm. starting a hyperlocal newspaper, like, I mean, printing press, what do you like? I don't know. You're not going to be able to start that for under $100. Mm-hmm. So
renting out your car or truck, like the liability, no thank you. There's definitely a lot that just don't apply.
Yeah. So you can go through the list, and there are some good ones, mm-hmm. You know, that we didn't go over, but most of them are not for our audience, but mm-hmm. This is what's on the internet, and the other posts are not better. So
yeah,
if you wanted to know before you start Googling it, just save yourself some time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess since we're done with that, we could just move on to something.
What else is there to do than the most fun thing of the week?
Yeah. Or we could just be done. Do you want to just be done?
Heck no. Oh. It's time for the Bill of the Week!
That's right! It's time for the best minute of your entire week! Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, buffalo bills, Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hi. First of all, I wanted to say my name is Jen Smith, too. No lie. There's a lot of us out there. But my favorite bill is one that doesn't exist anymore because it's from my favorite stuffed ducky that I had since I was 4 years old. I'm 36 years old now. And the stuffed ducky doesn't have a bill anymore because I've loved and kissed and hugged it so much that the bill basically disappeared from wear and tear over the years. So That's my favorite bill, one that I loved and kissed into non-existence. Thanks. Bye.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. How do I show my love for this? I think that the bills of the week can't get better. And then this happens. Jen Smith, we should have known that there was going to be instant connection. Amazing.
Oh my gosh.
You loved that duck bill into non-existence. What an amazing non-existing bill. Oh
my gosh. I don't think that I can love this bill as much as Jill does. Even though she's got my name and I should love it more, my reaction pales in comparison to yours, Jill.
I can hardly contain myself right now. I'm picturing 4-year-old Jen Smith. I don't even know what you look like, but just kissing your little stuffed ducky until it no longer has a bill. And now, full circle, you're 36 years old and it is now your bill of the week. Wow. I knew that we would create great things with this segment, but nothing could have prepared me for this.
Oh my gosh. You're on the brink of not keeping it together. And if you want Jill to lose it, submit your bill of the week to frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill, especially if you have the same name as me or a ducky. And yeah. You will see great things from Jill's future.
Seriously.
Jill might not have a future if she do this.
She got me on so many levels. Wow.
Yeah. She did. Man, thanks so much, Jen Smith, from the other Jen Smith. You're the original Jen Smith.
Yeah.
I've only been Jen Smith for 3 years. So, granted, I don't know how long you've been Jen Smith, but probably longer than 3 years.
Yeah, through marriage.
Mm, yes. Oh,
okay.
All right. So, Jill, do you want to share some of our personal side hustle experience?
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
For the listeners today.
Because I think that's the most tangible to say, all right, here's this list of 99 that, like, most of them are not applicable. But here's what has worked for us that we either just enjoy or is bringing in money for us. So, yeah, I can list off a couple. For me, that's painting, and even some of the construction work that my husband and I have done together has turned into a bit of a side hustle as we've pursued different things on a more full-time basis. So at one point it was full-time, moved into some part-time. So I will continue to paint for people, whether that's their walls or their doors or their ceilings.
RVs?
Or their RVs. Yeah. So that is some great work. If you've got some sort of construction skill and you're able to get in with some different contractors and fill up some of your time, or yeah, if they're needing to finish up a job quickly and you can be a second hand, that is great side money for us. What about for you, Jen?
So I have had a lot of success on Amazon. I will tell you my most recent side hustle fail. So I have made, for the past year, about $1,000 a month on merch by Amazon, which is their print-on-demand t-shirt company.
Amazing. So if you're following along so far, you've got more than one side hustle. Airbnb brings in $1,000. This brings in $1,000. You're doing all right.
Yeah. So, I mean, my philosophy is go deep versus wide. So I have a few side hustles I go real deep on. And this was one of them.
And that's just, a tip for life too.
Yeah. 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 Go deep. but so this is a sad story, actually. I had some shirts up that were movie quotes, and there were a bunch of other people that also had them. But they are, to my knowledge, now clear copyright infringements. And when they were reported, they were not caught by the copyright detector initially. So they've been up for a while. And I just kind of thought, I guess they must be okay. They're on Etsy. I see them other places on Amazon. Like, right. I guess they're okay. I don't know.
Right.
And they were selling well. They were taken down last week. And then my account was terminated because there were about 8 of them that were taken down. Yeah.
No. So
the whole account was terminated. They will not pay me like what they owe for the rest of the month. And I can no longer, I can't even make money off of the shirts that I was making money off of that were safe. And so it's definitely, doing side hustles is fun and it's good extra money, but there are legalities that go into it that you have to know. So whether that's making sure that you're, the actual thing that you're selling is safe from copyrights or taxes, that you're paying taxes properly. That's a big question we get in side hustles. Like, how do I know what my taxes are? Mm-hmm. I mean, and when you're doing a side hustle, it's, you're at the point where you should probably get somebody to do your taxes for you. Mm-hmm. I avoided it for a while, but it was really helpful when we got an accountant because he was able to tell me things that I could deduct and areas that like that maybe I didn't need to include or ones that I should like know more about. Not include, but like not worry about and, and all this stuff. So there are things that you need to pay attention even when the money's good.
Yeah, especially when you have multiple streams of revenue, it's good to have a system for keeping track of that and bring in other professionals. But that is a bummer, Jen, that so they won't even let you maintain the things that aren't a copyright infringement. Is there a way that you can start a new account or have they like flagged you as a person?
So they have flagged me for that. And Travis had an account as a backup just because I always thought that maybe this could happen because it's really common that Amazon will just cut sellers and because people will flag for copyright infringements pretty, pretty liberally. And Amazon doesn't check much. It's all algorithmic. So I did send in an appeal and we'll see if it happens. But yeah, so I had in the back of my head, this was always an option. I wasn't investing a lot into the business anymore, but I was always thankful for the money that it brought me.
Yeah.
So it is a huge bummer to not have that anymore. It sets me back obviously a lot. In my goals for online business, but that is, it's a reality that not everything, even in these online business, like income reports that you read online, it's not always roses. Like there are things going on. You have to do it the right way, even if it's harder and even if it takes longer.
Yeah. And again, another life lesson, value to live by.
Put it on a bumper sticker.
So for me, I realized that some of my side hustles are like the difference between a one-time thing and an ongoing recurring. And so for me, it's usually on a case-by-case basis or I take the work as it comes. There's not much that I have that is ongoing. I know what I'm bringing in like month to month. But some of that includes random jobs that I'll pick up. So I've had a couple of people who have contracted me to do refinish furniture for them, either find them something and make it into what they like, or they already have a piece of furniture that they want, you know, different legs put on it and stained differently, or, you know, just different things. So that has been a way that I've been able to make some money. And then also like bartending or hosting or serving at private parties or events. So that's been something that I've done with another friend and that Eric and I are doing now for really wealthy people who want to have parties, but they don't, they actually want to enjoy their party. So we'll come in and we will do the simple things of keeping the food warm, putting new food out, serving drinks, cleaning up, keeping the kitchen clean throughout the night. So it's not catering. We're not bringing any food or drink with us. We are just helping to host the party. And that has been very lucrative as well. So if you can find a rich area that would want to hire you for something like that, that's great. In our past, we've also done DJing. So if you are good with audio or you've got some speakers and a computer and you want to bring in some extra cash there, that's an option. And then flips of vehicles. So like our motorhome while we lived in it. So it wasn't, you know, a full on side hustle necessarily, but that is, you know, something to consider. And other things that we've purchased at a lower cost have fixed it up and turned around and sold it again. So if you've got an eye for that, that can be great. But again, not ongoing money. And then yard sales, either online or in person, as I want to get rid of things, I will sell them. Or if I'm already making gifts for people, I'll just make extra and sell it online. So like this article said, it's not going to make me a ton of money, but if I'm already doing it and I enjoy it, then great. An extra $7 a month is awesome because there you go. That's lunch. One mm-hmm. day. One yes. day in that I month. Mean-
Yeah. And that's one of the perks about like being frugal and not spending a lot is that you don't have the need for making a ton of extra money in your side hustle. You mm-hmm. can afford to do something that you just love, mm-hmm. even if it like only pays you $3 an hour.
Yeah. And so why not at least make that money if you can? If you're already yeah. going to do it, then sure, bring in a few extra dollars.
Yeah. Another one that I do is self-publishing. Mm. And that's another Amazon one. And it's something that the merch thing has taught me or has really solidified is to not put all my eggs in one basket. Mm. So it's always good to diversify income streams, not like diversify all the things that you're doing, but to do something similar, but do it in different places.
Yeah.
So I was for a while trying to get t-shirts up on Etsy to get that going, but I just wasn't really enjoying t-shirts anymore. Mm. So I didn't work very hard. So I still have my Etsy and it's the same shirts that were on Amazon. It definitely doesn't bring me as much money just because I was not as passionate about starting it. Mm-hmm. But so I do self-publishing on Amazon and that also brings me an extra $1,000 per month. That's where it ends. Those were my three.
Okay.
Was t-shirts, self-publishing, and Airbnb. Mm-hmm. And so I am still on Amazon self-publishing, the Kindle direct publishing. And it's because I have this thing that I'm passionate about, personal finance and frugality. And I wrote a lot about them and I just compiled them in books. And they're short books. You don't have to be like a traditionally published author to self-publish a book. It's not that hard. But the things that I invested into it were editing, cover design, and then one like email blast that was like $35.
Hmm.
So it was a little more than $100 to get that one going.
Okay.
But definitely worth it. Because I had my platform built, it wasn't a big platform, but I had a small email list and a website. So I had some of that already invested and had brought me a little bit of money. So this was just a natural next step. I wasn't just starting from scratch with self-publishing. So some of these things you don't have to start right out with. You can start with the less expensive, like starter things to make you a little bit and then reinvest that profit and start getting bigger with more lucrative opportunities like self-publishing.
Nice. Yeah. And those are great side hustles that are now at this point just bringing you in some of that consistent money that you've done mm-hmm. the work up front and now it's just doing its thing. It's a well-oiled machine. And I think that's what we all hope for in a side hustle. We just want to be able to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. So now that we're coming to an end, I found this article by the Lux Strategist, and she had four really good questions that I think are really worth asking yourself when you're thinking about starting a side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
So the four questions are, one, can you do your day job outside of your day job? So that is a way to make extra money if you don't have a non-compete or anything.
Yeah.
What do you do for fun? So can you, you know, part enjoy it, part monetize it?
Yeah.
What are you good at? So can you do a little bit of it and make a lot of money, even if you don't want to do a lot of it and make bank? And then four, what are some problems you or people you know have had to solve? So if there's a problem you can identify, someone will probably pay you to solve it.
Mm, that's good.
So those are the four side hustle questions to help you come up with what yours should be. And hopefully you don't spend that much to start it.
Yeah, those are great questions. I really like those. Can really help to identify what you want to do, what would work for you.
She put them really well. So that is all we have for today. We'll go through our regular outro about the Frugal Friends Book Club. If you are reading along with us, we just started Your Money or Your Life by Vicki Robin and Joe Dominguez. And that means we're giving away a new book. Mm-hmm. Can you guess what it is? Don't read it because it's right in front of you. It's The More of Less by Joshua Becker. It sounds kind of like our first month's pick, The Year of Less. But I have been really wanting to read this book by Joshua Becker. It is kind of a classic in the minimalism space. Mm. And so because I get to pick the books for the book club, I picked it.
Nice. And if you want a free copy of November's book, we are giving away one for every 5 reviews that we get this month with no limit. If you've been following along with us, you know that this is what we've been doing every month with the book. So it doesn't stop here. So you can get The More of Less by Joshua Becker. To enter, leave us a review on your podcast listening device. It doesn't just have to be iTunes, but leave us a review, screenshot the review, and then send it to frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. And we will select the winners for this book at the end of the month. And we will announce that and you will get your free book.
Yes. And if you are wondering what a really great 5-star review sounds like, I'm going to read you one right now.
This one's
from Yogi Greb, and it says, fun, honest, and entertaining. I'm new to this podcast, but I love that I feel like I'm listening to the fun, intelligent tips, tricks, and banter between friends. Definitely some great practical nuggets of wisdom to apply towards my quest to frugality. Highly recommend. Thank you so much, Yogi Greb.
Yeah, Yogi Greb. That was excellent. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us today. If you like what you're hearing, hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening to this episode, and we will come at you every Friday with some frugal goodness, friendship, camaraderie. You can find it here. And even during the week, check us out in our Frugal Friends Facebook community, and we will be hanging out there throughout the week. So until then,
Bye.
See ya.
Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni. You know what side hustle I would really like to start?
Tell me.
Dividend investing.
Ooh.
Do you know what that is?
I think so, but go ahead with it.
It sounds like the most boring side hustle, and I write about investing for a living. he describes it as buying cash flow, and I describe it as yawning. but sure it's super lucrative. I'm sure it's great. No.
Oh.
False.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are good at investing. That actually brings in people a decent amount of money, but you just also have to know things.